Well, Father, Lord God, I just pray this morning that you help us just to enter worship, Father. Help us not to be distracted. I'm kind of praying that for myself. Help me just to focus on allowing you just to use me just for worship, Father. I pray that we just feel your Holy Spirit here this morning and that you can teach us, Lord. I'm forgiven because you are forsaken. I'm accepted, you are condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. I'm forgiven because you are forsaken. I'm accepted, you are condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. I'm forgiven because you are forsaken. I'm accepted, you are condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. You are my King. You are my King. Jesus, you are my King. You are my King. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you in all I do. I honor you in all I do. I honor you. Father, I pray that's true, Lord, that in everything we do, that people can see your work, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that I know I pray this a lot, Father, because we are made of flesh, but I pray, Father, that we're not hypocrites, Lord. That when we're out there proclaiming Christ, that in another breath we're not doing things that you say separate us from you, Father. Help us to live the life that we say we live, Father. And when our past calls us, or those things call us that used to have power over us, Father, I pray, Lord, that you give us strength, Lord. And that you remind us that you can help us through anything, and we don't have to go back to those old things. You are so good to me. You heal my broken heart. You are my Father in heaven. You are so good to me. You heal my broken heart. You are my Father in heaven. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. And I'll sing again. You ride upon the clouds. You lead me to the truth. You are the Spirit inside me. You ride upon the clouds, you lead me to the truth. You are the Spirit inside me. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. And I'll sing again. You are my strong melody. You are my dancing rhythm. You are my perfect rhyme. And I want to sing forever. You poured out all your blood. You died upon the cross. You are my Jesus who loves me. You poured out all your blood. You died upon the cross. You are my Jesus who loves me. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. And I'll sing again. Oh, you are my strong melody. You are my dancing rhythm. You are my perfect rhyme, and I want to sing forever. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. And I'll sing again. You are my Father in heaven. You are the Spirit inside me. You are my Jesus who loves me. Oh, Father, I just pray for us, Lord God, as we are here on earth, Lord God. And, you know, we can't help but sometimes just be so overwhelmed with just everything that this world wants to offer us, Lord. But I pray, Father, that we realize that everything that it has to offer, it's just nothing compared to your love, Lord. I pray, Father, for those searching for love right now, Lord, that they just stop with you. That any worldly love is just nothing compared to this godly, fatherly love, where you can wrap us in your arms and you just hold us and you heal us and you make us new. Father, help us to run to that love and nothing else. You know, there may be a lot of us here that didn't have wonderful, perfect fathers, and none of us are claiming to be perfect parents, but we know that we have a perfect Father in heaven that's never going to let us down, and he's never going to leave us. I pray that as we are building our relationship with God, that we can just look to him and say, I know that you're the perfect Father, and while in the world I don't understand that, Father, teach me. Help me to have a soft heart, not hardened heart, that this world gives us. Help us to be so soft and just really just want to learn like children, a blank slate.
Oh, I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whispers of love in the dead of night, and I know you're always with me, and I'm never alone. You're a good Father, it's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you, it's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. Oh, and I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, 'cause you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good Father. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To love so undeniable, I can hardly speak. Peace so unexplainable, I can hardly think. As you call me deeper still, as you call me deeper still, as you call me deeper still, and to love. You're a good Father. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. You're a good Father. It's who you are, It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
Father, I just pray, Lord God, that can be our identity, that we are a child of God and that we are loved by you. And Father, I pray that that's enough, Lord, that we know that we're loved and we always have someone to turn to give us answers. I pray, Father, that you help us get rid of our selfish desires, Lord, so that we can hear your Holy Spirit, Father. You are so ready and willing to teach us everything, Father, but we just need to get out of the way. So, Father, I pray today, Lord, that first of all, Lord, that you grow us and that you teach us, Father, and that your Holy Spirit gives us wisdom and just wisdom just to get rid of ourselves, Lord God, to empty us, Lord, so that your Holy Spirit can fill us even more. And we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. Good morning, everybody. Good summer for those of you who are not on vacation. All right, I'm going to steal your stool. How do you like me now? All right, well, we have a couple things to go over before we get started. And then some announcements, and then we're going to pray for some of our kiddos, for the families who haven't left already. And then we're going to get into our Bible teaching in the book of Daniel. So, okay. So, a few things. First, we have tons of bagels, like whole bag full, like probably 100, 200 bagels. Take them home. Loaves of bread, Panera bread, please take as much as you can possibly hold since we have about, I don't know, a third of our folks missing today. Grab all of the bread you could possibly take with you so that I don't have to take it and eat it. Okay? Also, tithes and offerings, you guys know they're freely given back in the bird box. And so we just want to encourage you again to see the movies. If you haven't already, I can only imagine. God's Not Dead in the Dollar Theater. Also, you guys know about equipping. We've got radio stations, Christian radio stations to help you grow in the Lord, 88.1, 104.3, Moody Radio. You've got sermons online at homefellowshipchurch.com, the Loner Library in the back. Fantastic DVDs and Christian books. A couple people who aren't here asked me to say something about the Loner Library stuff. I remember that. That's all. We'll just keep it between us.
Return them when you're through.
There was a couple things that I was supposed to, but they're not here. And so maybe next week. We'll see. Okay. All Paul the Apostle of Christ. Okay. So if you want to meet early here Sunday mornings at 9 a.m., we would love to have you just to pray for our community, for the church, for the school, for the Bible studies that are going on. We have men's Bible studies and dinners Tuesday nights, every other Tuesday, first and third Tuesdays at 6 p.m. And so we're going through the book of 1 Timothy. So if you'd like to join us, you're welcome to do that. Also, Transformers Youth Group, Wednesdays, every Wednesday, 6:30 to 8:30, going through the book of James. I watch Amanda Panda share. She did such a fantastic job that last week. That was so fun. Yeah, woo-woo. Also, guys, just for the summertime, we've got so many people out, so many things going on. So the Thursday night barbecue and Bible study, we've been going through the book of 1 Kings and the book of Mark. We're going to put that off just for the summertime because we have to do a class, okay? And that class is starting this Thursday. We're doing our own version of a Growing Kids God's Way course, trying to reach the heart of your child. We've got a bunch of people from our church, probably about a dozen people that are wanting to take this course, and probably about another five or seven families from the school that are wanting to take this course. We only offer this course probably once every 2 years, and we teach it a little bit differently than the course. Some folks have taken this course, and if you take it and teach it in a very legalistic way, it could be almost damaging, I think. but we incorporate a lot of other elements to it, and it's about reaching the heart of your child. So if you're a child care worker, if you work, if you have kids from the age of 2 to 15 years old, give or take a couple years, if you are a grandparent, we would really strongly encourage you to take this course with us. Each Thursday, the workbook is going to cost you $20. It's going to be at least throughout the summer, and it's going to be an absolutely fantastic course. And I absolutely guarantee that if you're a parent, a grandparent, a child care worker, if you work with kids in any way, God will impart amazing stuff to you. I'm not kidding you. I've guaranteed we've taught it for many, many years, and we've revised it for many, many years. So I'm, Lord said, don't say I'm begging you to take it. You pray about it. You ask the Lord. I'm encouraging you to take it. And I see a hand up. Ma'am.
What about
bringing? Oh, that's a fantastic question. So here's what we've done. We have teenagers who have volunteered. I didn't coerce them in any way, just for the record. Like folks like Hezekiah and Elijah and Skylar with the young ones. And we may need one or two more, but they've volunteered to watch the kids from ages 1.5 to 11. Is that correct? Did I get that right? To 11 or 12.
Come see me if
you need
childcare. Yes,
so if you want to bring like a dollar or two, you know, if you dump like 11 kids and, you know, and you give a dollar, maybe just put a couple dollars in there for it. They're doing it. They're doing it to, because they love the Lord, and so I'm very proud of them for that. But we just want to bless them as well. And so they're going to do that throughout the summer just as a way to serve. Yes?
Darren, your comment about it could be
legalistic.
And
yes, ma'am.
You're choosing to...
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so if the book is purchased...
Yes, ma'am.
...but you don't attend the class...
You'll be beaten.
No.
You know what? Yes, if you want to read a book, I will give you a different book to read. Probably Don't Make Me Count to Three, Shepherding a Child's Heart, some others. However, I don't know that I would just recommend the book without... Yes. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So, but with what we teach, I think it's a fantastic class. So I just would very much strongly encourage as much as humanly possible. Okay, there you go. All right. Please pray. We have another building coming. Lord willing. Okay, but we don't have approval from the county yet. So that building might just have to sit there until the county approves. So please continue to pray for favor with the county, but that should be coming over the summer. And so please, please pray that God would just break down walls, barriers, and with the Manatee County government so we can put that next building out there. Also, again, I told you Peggy and Lester, that 47 years when they came and they shared here from Zimbabwe, they just shared that this church was such a family to them, and just so receptive and so kind and so loving. And I just, again, want to share that with you, but also to let you know that this church, what we didn't let you know is we also gave them money for their missions and for their time here. We, from the tithes and offerings, we blessed them with a lot of money just to encourage them in the Lord. It's great to see you. And then also, we stocked their home here in Bradenton with tons of food for their family. And they were just so amazed. I wanted to let you guys know just what was done for that.
They were amazing.
47 years on the mission field. And they just want to be back here, but it's all in God's timing. So,
I listened to that on the internet.
Yeah.
Because I was unable to
comment. Yeah. That me-centered life, or what was it?
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. Yes, they have a home here, but they're hopefully they'll be back in a year. But again, I noticed the Weavers aren't here. I think they're driving. I don't see Olivia. Is Olivia here? They're what now? Okay, they're driving their family up there. Okay, that's fine. All right. Well, we also have Christian Youth in Action. Now, for those of you who don't know, it's teen missionary and evangelism training, and it's about a week long. And it is from sunup to sundown. These kids aren't playing. They're training. And so there's 142 kids from all over the state of Florida that go to this college campus dorms. I mean, they pour into them. And then over the summer, they go to different churches. They're going to have a Bible study here, a vacation Bible study, because we're going to go to other churches and serve and do evangelistic missionary training to the kids and pour out into them. And just an encouragement of the 142 kids, that's full. It's full up in the state for the state of Florida. In our area, Sarasota, Manatee County, all the children, all the teens that are going for this intense missionary evangelism training are coming from the church and the school. And I just think that's really cool. And so I know some of the families are already gone. They've already gone up there. And I know the rest of them are leaving right after we pray for them. But for the ones who are still here that are going to CYIA, will you come up here, please? And I want to, we're just going to pray for you real quick as they're leaving right after this. So who? So the ones that are still here, come on up. How many we got? One, two, three, four. Okay. All right, come on up. Josh, Graham. Does anybody feel led to pray over these kids? Otherwise, I'm nominating. Okay. Ezekiel, you feel led to pray? Now, do you know what that... Good job, Zeke. Now, you know what that means, feeling led to pray, right? Okay, so we're going to pray for these teenagers, okay, that God would bless them, okay, and take care of them. Okay, do you know how to do that? Okay, all right, hold that to your mouth, okay?
Lord, please help the big kids that there have a nice time, Lord, and they don't get in trouble, Lord, and please help that they obey and that they all do good, Lord. I pray for everybody. I pray for the big kids that they're going to the training, Lord, but in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Ezekiel. Okay. Guys, I just want to say we're very, very proud for you, Skylark. Very proud of you. First time. Jonathan, first time. Hezekiah, second time. And Joe and Azdeline, second. And Azdeline, third. You guys are animals. High fives. High fives. Great job. We love you. We love you. We love you. Love you. All right. You guys may go. And these guys all went to our Creation Museum trip and also our Ark Encounter trip, too. All right. Drive safely. Come again soon.
I have a prayer request, and I can either do it now or at
the end. Okay. Okay, go ahead.
Adrian. Our cousin, the 5-year-old that I told you about in the
yes.
At our picnic.
Yes.
We are picking her up from the airport
wow.
Next Thursday. She will go and spend a week with my mother-in-law, and then she will come back to us. Well, we don't know how permanently, but it is. They do know it's going to. She will be starting school here.
Okay.
She is fully aware of it's an indefinite amount of time. Because we don't know how long it's going to take for her mom to get her life straight.
Okay.
And
all right.
And she is ecstatic. She has no family whatsoever out in California. So she is so excited to come and meet
wow.
all this family. And
Let's pray
and
right now.
That's start
amazing.
School here. So, you know, the Lord's really prepared her heart.
You guys all make a little Adrian.
Right.
And she's 5 years old. Is that correct?
She's 5, yeah.
And she's coming to live with the Letarios for a while.
So
and
pray
so,
for us because,
yes.
you know what, I feel like I know this is where the Lord has us.
Right.
But, you know, of course, I
sure.
I don't know why. My kids are teenagers and they're all grown. I've gone through it, but I just
right.
don't feel equipped anymore.
Sure. Well, so. When you get older, Natalie, and you're not young like myself, things get more difficult.
I know. I don't know how it's all going to work out. But.
Oh, you busted me for saying the old thing. Okay,
yeah.
So we're going to take a minute and we're going to pray. Father, we just do pray for the Letarios. Lord, we ask, Lord, that you would give them grace, Lord. I just in Jesus' name, I'm with Havad, I think is that Hebrew word. Just grace, Lord. Just pour it out upon them, Lord. Patience, Lord. You'd give them supernatural wisdom as they've grown over the years, Lord, of what to do and what not to do, Lord God. That you would be able to just pour in through them and through the kids. We ask that you'd use the church, the people here, the school, whatever you would use, pour into that little child, that you would show that little Adrian, Lord, who you are, and so that that child's calling election would be sure, that they would know you and love you, Lord. We don't want to teach information. We want to teach them about the one true and living God, and that's what we pray, no matter what happens, that that God would be known to this child. And we ask it in Jesus Christ's name, amen, and amen, and amen. Praise the Lord. It's amazing. You are so right. He is so good all the time. All right. Now we are in the Bible. So if you don't have a Bible, raise your hand, Chris. When did you? Hey, where are they? Where are my people? Okay. All right. Hey, Elijah, would you grab some Bibles? Oh, my normal people. Oh, sorry. Would you grab some Bibles? If you need a Bible, raise your hand. My normal folks. We just got done with the book of Habakkuk. And we are now in the book of Daniel. And if you weren't here last week, Miss Neely did that in PowerPoint. She's teaching, not PowerPoint, Photoshop. And she did that. She's teaching our kids at school. And the book of Daniel, again, is a book about purpose, about prayer, and about prophecy. And we have no time to go through. There was so much information last week. It was unreal. And so I honestly just simply don't have time to go through all the amazing archaeology and history and stuff that we covered last week and covered chapter 2. And so we're just going to jump right in. And Lord, I just pray by the anointing of your Holy Spirit that you would bless your word by your Holy Spirit, that you would open our hearts and our minds right now, for all wisdom and understanding comes from you by your Holy Spirit. So we ask for that right now in Jesus Christ's name. And all God's people said, amen. 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 All right. So the book of Daniel, purpose, prayer, prophecy, living a countercultural life. Okay. We spent a lot of time. I'm not going to talk about all that. Blah, 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 blah. You're just going to have to pretend. You have to listen to it online, although it's not as good. But again, we know even in the book of Daniel, Jesus even spoke of the book of Daniel, okay? So some people thought it was written afterwards. It was so prophetically accurate, so amazingly accurate that people thought it would have to be written around the time of Jesus or after the time of Jesus. But Jesus mentioned the prophet Daniel, okay? So we know that that's the case. Okay, so here we are. If you guys remember, God's people have rebelled against him. The northern tribes in Israel have been taken by the brutal Assyrians, the Ninevites, and then as punishment. And then the smaller kingdom of Judah in south is all that's left. And eventually, if you remember, they started rebelling against the Lord. God sent them warning after warning after warning, but they refused to listen. They even ripped up the scroll. You remember that from last week? They burned it. They threw it in the fire. God was sending his word to them, and they threw it away. They burned it. And so finally, God sent judgment. It's on the Babylonians, sent King Nebuchadnezzar down, and he came in. Actually, he'll come in multiple times, and he's going to take over, and he's going to take a bunch of people back with him. And he took a lot of the upper class, their kids, to kind of keep the people in Jerusalem and Judea in line, okay? And so people ask sometimes, you know, oh, and if you remember, the kids, because they were kids at that time. They were probably from the ages of about 12 to 15. Elijah, I'm going to have you do the light since our normal folks aren't here today. Would you hit it just for my old eyes? And you remember, they've taken everything away from these guys. Imagine if this was you. A brutal army has come in to your town, to Bradenton here, and they've ripped you out of your family. They've taken away, they've burnt down some of your, they've taken some of the items from the temple, they've burned the church, they've taken you out of your family, you're in a foreign land, you're in a totally pagan land, okay? So now, you don't have anything, you're stripped of your culture, you're stripped of your church, you're stripped of your family, you're stripped of your parents, you're stripped of everything, all your finances, everything that you're familiar with. And not only that, but you're being brainwashed by the king is having you brainwashed for 3 years in a university and pagan thinking and all this stuff. And you remember, they didn't want to defile. They purposed in their heart not to defile the Lord and to honor him. And this is what these kids did. And they even went so far, some think, because he was the guy who was in charge of these guys and girl, that they even lost their manhood because he was in charge of the eunuchs. And they even took away their names. Daniel's name, which means God is my judge, got changed to Belteshazzar, which means Bel protect the king, which is their pagan god. Hananiah, which means Yahweh is gracious. His name was changed to Shadrach, which means at the command of Aku, which was their moon god. Mishael in Hebrew, which means who is like the Lord, was named Meshach, who was like, who is like Aku, their moon god. And so Azariah, which means Yahweh is my helper, his name got changed to Abednego, who was their god of learning. And so this is a pretty terrible thing. Even their names are stripped away. Everything, who they are, but they can't take what's inside. And whatever comes your way, whatever comes against you in the days to come, in the weeks to come, in the years to come, no one can take what God has placed inside of you. They might throw you in prison. They might persecute you. They might mock you. They might torture you. They might take your stuff. Who knows what's going to happen? But if you have the living God, the Holy Spirit living inside of you, no one can take that away. No one. And that's where they're at right now. Now, some people ask me, okay, what did Nebuchadnezzar, King Nebuchadnezzar look like? Probably something like that. A little statue. Some think that's an Assyrian king. Some think that's Nebuchadnezzar. But this is probably something about what he looked like. maybe. But that's what he looked like. Okay, here, hit the lights just for a second. Now, Babylon would have made Jerusalem look like, you know, a hick town. Okay, Babylon was so lush and so amazing. It was the center of the world. Okay, there was so much gold in Babylon. It was some of the buildings and the temples were actually, historians were even covered in gold. The outside of the buildings, covered in gold. This would have been amazing. If you remember the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, the historians recorded as one of the seven wonders of the world. King Nebuchadnezzar built it for his wife, Amytis, because she missed, I spelled mountains wrong. Okay, that's embarrassing. But anyway, because she missed the mountains where she was from. She was from Iran, and she had the mountains and the valleys, and it was very beautiful and lush. So he built this thing, tiered up, this amazing thing, and it's reported as in writing in 290 BC by a Babylonian priest is all about it, and also Josephus, the historian, recorded it as being also in Grecian text about one of the seven wonders of that world. You know, here's some interesting facts, listen, of where these kids are at right now, okay? They've been 2 or 3 years in this university, and we're starting off in chapter 2. Here's some interesting facts about, according to, this is a worldly historian, but Herodotus wrote about Nebuchadnezzar's Babylon, okay? This is what it was like. Think about this all those years ago, 600 years before Christ, and think how long ago this was, okay? It was in the form of a square. It was 14 miles on each side and of enormous magnitude. The brick wall was 46 miles long. It was 300 feet wide. Do you know how big? 300 feet high, not wide. 300 feet high. The Great Wall of China at its highest point, do you know how big that is? It's about 50 feet. It averages, you're right, Nicholas, averages about 25 feet. But it's at its biggest point, averages about 50 feet. So think about how big 300 foot high is. Yes? Is it really? So think of a wall as big as the Skyway. 300 feet high and 25 feet thick. They would have chariot races on it. And that's the same width as the Great Wall of China. So imagine, this is huge. This is opulent. This is a dynasty, right? Okay? And not only that, but the wall extended 35 feet underground. so that no enemy could be able to get in through that. I mean, think about that. 35 feet underground. There were 250 towers that were 450 feet high. A wide and deep moat encircled the entire city. And the Euphrates River flowed through the middle of the city so that they would have a water supply no matter what. Ferry boats and a half a mile long bridge with drawbridges closed at night. We already talked about the Hanging Gardens, and it was raised. There was tons of water used, but it was raised from the river by hydraulic pumps all those years ago. Okay, 8 massive gates led to the inner city with 100 brass gates. I'm going to show you one of those gates. Actually, the 8th one. It's the smallest, but you'll get the idea. Streets were paved with stone slabs 3 feet square. The Great Tower Ziggurat was one of 53 temples, including the Great Temple of Marduk, which was one of their gods, and 180 altars to Ishtar, which she was the god of war and sex. How those two combined, I don't know. Anyway, so also there was a golden image of Baal and the golden table that was both weighing over 50,000 pounds of solid gold. Now, I don't know what that equates to, but a lot. 2 golden lions, a solid gold human figure, 18 feet high, and Nebuchadnezzar's palace was considered the most magnificent building ever erected on earth. There's models constructed about what it looked like from writings, historical writings, but you can just imagine how big this was. I mean, it was amazing. Amazing. Okay, he was kind of like the king of the earth. There were other dynasties probably at that time, you know, that came on the scene, maybe Aztec, Inca, I don't know, Chinese, but nothing compared to this. You can see this processional street right here, all right? This is just one of the gates. This is the 8th gate, okay? And we're going to show you that gate, okay, to get into the inner city, all right? Babylonian lions and flowers, these are actual from that age period, from Nebuchadnezzar's age period. Decorated that processional street. I like archaeology. Some of you guys are like, oh my goodness, this is so dull. To me, I'm like, this just verifies the Bible is true. To me, it's the coolest thing. So if you're not thinking, this is so cool, just, you know, doze off for a minute. I'll wake you. All right, Elijah, yes. Would you grab the mic if you have something to say? Go ahead.
I actually think is kind of interesting is that yeah, you know how God gave Assyria into the hands of Babylon?
Yes.
One of the reasons Babylon succeeded over Assyria, even though they were equal in their war strength, they were more powerful in their culture and strengthening their economies and stuff like that. And that's where Assyria fell.
That's right. And Babylon took over the Assyrians. That's right. Now, actually, this is the Ishtar Gate. This is the, well, part of it anyway. This is the 8th gate. It's actually, it was to the inner city, the smallest gate, but it was constructed about 575 BC by order of King Nebuchadnezzar on the north side of the city, and it was excavated in the 1930s and reconstructed using the original bricks and is now in the Pergamon Museum in Berlin. So they took it painstakingly. You know what I was thinking as I was, that's so cool. But you know what I was also thinking? Isn't that like stealing? Do you know what I'm saying? Did they just steal? Anyway, that's another story for another time. But this is what the little 8th gate looked like to get into the city. Okay, that's, imagine this, 600 years before Christ. Okay, that's so cool to me. Now, this was the photograph from the 1930s after they took all the bricks, right? This was what remained of the 8th. It's so that they left a little bit there. Isn't that thoughtful of them? Yeah. But anyway, at least we have it. Because some damage was done in the wars and so on, but you get the ideas, okay? Just so you see, okay, these are real things. Now, did Nebuchadnezzar actually exist? Yes, part of that Ishtar Gate has this in it, okay? As they were excavating the Ishtar Gate, this little excerpt was exposed, okay? And this is what it says. I, Nebuchadnezzar, because, hey, did he actually exist? Is the Bible true? It says, I, Nebuchadnezzar, laid the foundation of the gates down to the groundwater level and had them built out of pure blue stone. Upon the walls in the inner room of the gate are bulls and dragons, and thus I magnificently adorned them with luxurious splendor for all mankind to behold in awe. Here we have it. Backing up, these things in the Bible are true. This is one of the Babylonian dragons he's talking about. This is one of the Babylonian cattle. I mean, this is just cool. It would have a ziggurat like this. It's not the exact one. It's one of their temples. This is a little south in Iraq, in Ur. But it would look like that, and they had lots of them in the city. Some of what's left in Babylon of the walls, not very much. This is what's left of Nebuchadnezzar's palace. Unfortunately, a lot of it was damaged during the war. So anyway, you get the idea there. Okay, now, how do we know Jews even lived during that time? How do we know the Bible is true? Well, look at this. This is dated February 2nd, 2015, and they have an exhibit of ancient clay tablets in modern-day Iraq, and it was from by King Nebuchadnezzar, okay? And it actually details generation of Judean families that were taken from Jerusalem to Babylon. It names their children, grandchildren, their biblical names, all this. They say that this was like hitting the jackpot. It's just amazing what archaeology is proving the Bible is true. So that's what we're going to do. That's what I want you to know. Just as we start the book of Daniel, how incredible the Bible is and how, man, it's being proved true again and again. You can trust his word. You can trust what it says. Don't let anybody tell you it's not true. Listen to what he has to say. All right. So, Daniel chapter dos. Elijah, would you hit the light? Elijah, can you pass somebody the mic? Hey, Susan, do you mind reading? Are you like uncomfortable reading? If you are, then I'll pass it to Natalie. All right, now you know I'm going to just stop you, so just start reading, and I'll stop you very quickly. Daniel chapter 2.
One night in the second year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar had a terrifying nightmare and awoke trembling with fear. And to make matters worse, he couldn't remember his dream. He immediately called in all his magicians and cantonationists, sorcerers and astrologers, and demanded they tell him what his dream had been.
Okay, good. Stop right there. Okay, so in the second year of his reign, so whether the kids have been in the university 2 years or they're going by the Babylonian, well, yeah, you don't care about that. You guys, for here, you were here next week. It could be the third year, depending on when Nebuchadnezzar was crowned king. In the second year, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams, okay? And the Bible says his mind is troubled. Now, can I tell you something? Sometimes we have dreams, in all honesty, and it's just bad pizza. Do you know what I'm saying? Sometimes that's it. Sometimes it's our subconscious. You know, we were worried about something, blah, 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 blah. You know, but sometimes God is speaking to us through our dreams. Sometimes even the enemy's whispering something. And so we need to make sure that we remember that. And it says in the Bible, it says his mind was troubled. Now this guy, he doesn't live in a democracy. Whatever he says goes with absolute power. If he says, you know what, Stanley, I just don't like your shirt. I'm going to chop off your head and we're going to grind your family's home to rubble. He could do that and nobody would think twice about it. Okay? This is a guy who is not troubled by what we're troubled about. Okay? You might be thinking, oh my gosh, the grandkids aren't following you, Lord. You might be thinking, oh, how am I going to pay the bills? Right? How am I going to pay the mortgage? We have to juggle the credit card. You know, how do I do this? Oh, what if at work my employees don't do what I'm asking them to do? Oh no, how am I going to pay? How am I going to find a place to live? He doesn't have to think of anything like that. He has ultimate rule and authority in the world. He has all the power that anyone in the world has ever had. Any passion he wants, any power, any pleasure, it's his at a whim. And you know what he can't even buy? What? A night's sleep. I heard somebody say it. This guy can't buy peace. He can't buy a night's sleep. See, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, then you don't have to worry about that. You know, I'm going to get to that in a second. The Bible says, Elijah, you get that when I do that. Thanks. Matthew 6:34. So don't be anxious or worry about tomorrow. God will take care of your tomorrow too. Live one day at a time. The Bible says he cares for the birds of the air. He feeds them. He takes care of them. And how much more important are you than the birds of the air, right? So don't worry. In fact, instead of worrying, he says, I want you to pray. Philippians 4:6-8 says, I want you to be anxious about nothing. You know, psychologists say that 90% of our free time in our head, when we're thinking about stuff, 90% of it is thinking of, is worrying. We're anxious about something. We're worrying about something. 90% of the time. But the Bible says, hey, I want you to be anxious about nothing because you have a heavenly Father who loves you and can trust, you can trust. He says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all your understanding. How am I going to do this, Lord? How am I going to do this? Oh, it surpasses that. All understanding. He'll guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Peace is only found in Jesus Christ. And it's in trusting him. Does that make sense? It goes on to say that his mind was troubled and he couldn't find peace. You know, the Bible also says this, guys. This is Psalm 3:5-6. You know, if you're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, Psalm 3:5-6 says, I lay down and slept. Yet I woke up in safety, for the Lord is watching over me, and he's watching over you. He never sleeps, the Bible says. He never slumbers. As you trust in him, he is watching over you. Okay? It says, I am not afraid of 10,000 armies who surround me on every side, because I serve the living God. He is my protector. He'll never leave me or forsake me. That's a beautiful promise. Psalm 4:8 says this, in peace I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. No one else. Your checkbook doesn't make you lie down in safety. Your mortgage payments, your job. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one that will let you and give you that peace. And he alone will help you to dwell in safety. It's him. Turn it over to him. You can trust him. Now, when we talk about dreams, you know, people sometimes get a little skittish, and I understand that because there's a lot of hokey stuff that goes on, okay? But, again, God speaks through dreams as well. You remember Joseph in the time of Pharaoh? Do you remember? Joseph interpreted Pharaoh's dreams, and he raised him up to the second in command. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Ben Carson. Anybody familiar with him? He is, at the age 33, he became the director of pediatric neurosurgery at Johns Hopkins, at all of Johns Hopkins medical institutions. Now he's the secretary for the United States of America for HUD. But when he grew up in the projects in Chicago, very rough area. And he was on a scholarship, and he was going to lose his scholarship. Everything was going to be gone. He was trying to study to be a doctor, trying to get out, working as hard as he could, and finally he just prayed. He said, oh, Lord, I can't take it anymore. I can't do it. If I fail this chemistry test, it's all done. I'm done with it. I lose my scholarship. I'm out. And he begged the Lord. He just couldn't, and he fell asleep in the middle of praying. And he said in the dream, this is in his book, in his dream, he said, he felt like the Lord came to him, and there was a big board, a whiteboard, and he started writing equations on the board in his dream. And he wrote the equations and then wrote out, explained it, and wrote the answers to all the questions. And then he went through most of the dream. I think the very last, he woke up somewhat abruptly and didn't get the last one. But anyway, so he went through this whole dream. So then as he went in, you know, He sat down and he opened his chemistry test, and he knew this was it. This was the whole thing. And as he looked at the test, he laughed. Because what was on The chemistry test was exactly what was on the board taught in the dream. Every single equation, every single answer. Except, remember at that one where I said he woke up a little bit abruptly and that last one didn't get through? So he scored like a 99. He missed the one at the end because he didn't get that answer. And of course, you know he went on, and I think he actually ran for president last year. So, and yeah. So here we go. You know, dreams, hit the light just for me for a second, would you? Thanks, Elijah. You know, when we talk about dreams, you got to be careful with it again. Because a lot of times, I had this dream, you know, a monkey was eating pizza and then threw it over. What does it mean? It means you didn't get a good night's sleep, you know. But there are times when the Lord speaks to you. It says in Joel that your old men, your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. So God really does speak to people through dreams. So you have to be open to that. The Lord speaks to my wife more often than me through dreams. Okay? And the Lord is also the one that gives interpretations of dreams, which that's another story for later. So, but you remember folks like, you know, Joseph and folks like Daniel and where, you know, God used dreams. You remember even in the New Testament, guys, Joseph was spoken to in a dream. Mary, you know, there's a bunch of people in the New Testament spoken of to in dreams as well. And so God does speak to us in dreams. He goes on to say in the book of Daniel, in verse 2, it says that the king summoned all the magicians, all the enchanters, all the sorcerers, all the astrologers to tell him what he had dreamed. And when they came in and stood before the king. Now, if I was doing a movie about this, I don't know if you noticed this, but it said in verse 1 that Nebuchadnezzar had dreams up, plural, which to me tells me that God was trying to give him these things over and over again. I don't know if you've ever had those reoccurring dreams, okay? Somebody, so he's having it over and over. Now, to me, I'm thinking he's waking up in the middle of the night. I would write, if I was doing the movie, he'd be waking up in the middle of the night, and this is the king of the world. I mean, if he says at 3 a.m, summon all the, you know, people and bring them into me right now, they're not going to say, king, it's in the middle of the night. Can't do it. They're going to say, oh, yes, king, get up right now. Come right now. Search throughout the city. Bring him to me this instant. So I'm picturing this is in the middle of the night. He's freaking out. He can't sleep. He's worried. And you're going to find out that he's troubled about his future. What's going to become of him and his kingdom? You know? And I just want to say a couple things about this. You know, if you guys notice this, whenever I talk about this, you know, I even said this to the Lord. There's the least amount of people here that need to hear the most amount of stuff. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord, I just as I came in, I said, Lord, I just know we're going to be talking about magic stuff. And boy, the enemy just doesn't want this stuff known. But you're going to be told when it says stuff like magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, and astrologers. Okay, let me get to this. Okay, here's what it doesn't mean. Okay, now this, oh, maybe my dad isn't here today. Ooh, Stella? No, not here today either. Okay, well, this is Colon, Michigan, okay? This is where my grandparents lived, and it is the magic capital of the world, okay? You know how they have every little town is the something is, this is their shtick. Now, when we talk about the magic capital of the world, they've got tons of magic companies there, the Fab Magic Company that produces magic, Abbott's Magic Shop, has been there like 100 years. We're not talking about stuff like this. Sleight of hand, okay? Okay, I don't see him either. Okay, Michael and Isabella, they do card tricks. We're not talking about that kind of stuff. We're not talking about pulling a rabbit out of a hat. We're not talking about David Copperfield, you know, where he makes like a jet disappear. Have you ever seen that on TV? It's amazing. We're not talking about sleight of hand or illusion. Okay, we're not talking about those things. You know, we're not talking about the fortune teller that you see at Atlantic City who's just out to scam you, tells you things that you already know. Oh, that was so amazing. Look, most of those people are just ripping you off. They're just manipulated. They're hustlers. They're hucksters, okay? You know, a lot of those seances, fortune tells. However, what I want you to know is, we're not, even though we're not talking about that, or we're not talking about, do you guys remember this? Okay, I had one of them. It was a dumb, you know, magic eight ball. You remember, you shake it up, you know, should I do this? You know, ask again later. I can't tell you at this time. What? Stupid eight ball. Now 2 seconds later, you can. Okay. It would tell you the answer, okay? It was a stupid little toy. Okay, we're not talking about these things. We are talking about, there are dark arts, there are books of magic, there are witches, there are warlocks, there are sorcerers, there are soothsayers, fortune tellers that are plugged in to the demonic side of things, okay? That is the truth. So again, I'm not talking about all those fake things. I'm talking about there's a real aspect to this that nobody seems to get. And Christians now, more than ever, are glorifying, hey, Harry Potter, oh, he's a good witch that taps into demonic powers. Yay! Oh, we've got Doctor Strange. He's an occultist. He draws in, oh, he's going to be, he's our superhero. I even think he's in the new, I didn't see it yet, but in the new Avengers movie as one of a lead parts. Oh, he's a hero. He just taps into demonic powers. Woo-woo! No woo-woo. Not at all. I want you to understand that the Bible talks about that these things are real. I had a person that told me after 30 years that he thought all this stuff, as being a Christian, he never knew this stuff was real. Okay, so the same words in Hebrew, which using magicians and sorcerers, are also in Exodus chapter 7. I want you to turn there. Okay? Exodus chapter 7. We're going to spend a few more minutes on this. Oh, you got to be kidding me. Oh, Lord have mercy. Yes. Exodus what indeed? Exodus chapter 7. Give me a second to get there. Myself. Holy schmolies. Oh, I have so much cool stuff. Oh. Okay, Lord, let me just give it up to you and just trust. Okay, 15 minutes, huh? 20 minutes? Okay. Exodus chapter 11. Okay, now you remember. Seven. What? You guys don't listen. It is. It's Exodus 7:11, actually. Chapter 7, verse 11. Huh. Feel the burn. Okay. Okay, so if you remember what's happened, God had sent Moses, right, and Aaron to go talk to Pharaoh, who at that time was the king of the world, okay? And to let his people go. They were held in slavery, right? And you remember the whole story. Pharaoh says no, a bunch of these things happen. You'll see it in just a second. And then they put the blood of the lamb on the door, finally. And the angel of death comes, and everyone who doesn't have the blood of the lamb on the lintels and doorposts, right? Whoever has the blood on the lamb, the angel passes over them, and they go from slavery to freedom. Hey, is that an amazing picture? Anyway. So in Exodus chapter 7, he starts off by going to Pharaoh, right? And the Lord said, this is what I want you to do. I'm going to give you a staff. Throw it down, and it'll become a snake. And so in verse 11 of chapter 7, it says, Pharaoh then summoned the wise men, and what? Sorcerers, and the Egyptian what? Magicians. Okay? Those are the exact same words that's used here in Daniel. Okay? And it says, magicians also did the same thing by their secret arts, by their dark arts. So they threw down their staffs, and by their dark arts, theirs turned into snakes as well. And then it says, each one threw down his staff, and it became a snake. But Aaron's staff swallowed up the other staffs. Yet Pharaoh's heart became hard, and he would not listen. Now wait, stay in Exodus for a second. Then you remember God started doing miracles, right? He started doing plagues on the people. You remember that? Go to chapter 8. Okay, he did the plague of the frogs. Okay, you remember that? All right? Chapter 8 of Exodus, verse 5 to 7. Okay, Exodus chapter 8, 5 to 7. It says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Tell Aaron, stretch out your hand with the staff over the streams and canals and ponds, and make frogs come onto the land of Egypt.' So Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, but the frogs came up and covered the land. But the magicians did the same thing by their secret arts, and also made frogs come up on land. So Pharaoh, you remember, hardened his heart. But then later in verses 16 to 19, as you go down, okay, it says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Tell Aaron, stretch out your staff and strike out the dust of the ground. And throughout the land of Egypt, the dust will become gnats.' They did this, and when Aaron stretched out his hand with the staff and struck the ground, gnats came upon men and animals. All the dust throughout the land of Egypt became gnats. But when the magicians tried to produce gnats by their secret arts, they could not." Now, they did it. Even in previous chapters, if you look at the plague of blood in chapter 7, he did that. They did that by their secret arts. So it's like the Lord kept upping the game. And finally, if you look in here, it says in verse 19 of chapter 8, the magicians finally said to Pharaoh, "We can't do it. This is the finger of God." So listen, what I'm telling you is that there are two separate sources for this. The magicians, the enchanters, the astrologers, those are tapping into demonic resources and demonic powers coming from Satan. You, as a Christian, want nothing to do with that. In fact, he doesn't even want you listening to people who talk about that. Do you realize, listen, I know some of you are going to get mad. Maybe this is why I kept people away today. But okay, for example, Harry Potter. Oh, he's my hero. Okay, don't talk about him. I have people get so mad at me, for example. And it's, again, it's not Harry Potter. It's just when she was writing this book, she wanted it to be as accurate as possible. So when kids are reading it, there's actual spells in there. The actual names of these demons that they're calling on are actual names of demons. So all the children are just, but they're all reading. So that's allowed in school. My kid can't pray in a public school, but he can read witches' incantations and spells and call on demons, and that's okay, because they're reading. Listen, you're in Exodus, so this is not a big stretch for you. Go to Deuteronomy. I'm just spending time on this because somebody's got to know. Somebody has to listen. Okay, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter what, you ask? That's a great question. Deuteronomy chapter 18. It's to the right? Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy. Exodus chapter 18. Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 18, starting in verse 9. Nueve for our Spanish-speaking friends. Nine for our German. French? I have no idea. How do you say nine in Korean, Chip?
It'll take me a while.
Okay. And it'll take me a while for our Korean friends. All right. So, okay. Everybody there? I want you to read this for yourself. If you have a Bible, underline these things. Somebody's got to get the clue. The enemy is a deceptive little snot. How about that? Okay, here we go. So here, the people of God, right, are going to be going into the new land, right? That God, the promised land, right? And throw out all the pagans, and that's what they're going to do. Okay, starting in verse 9, you ready? It says, "When you enter the land," he's talking to God's people, he's talking to you and me. Well, he's not really, but he is in a sense. "When you enter the land the Lord your God has given you, do not learn to imitate the detestable ways of the nation there." What's detestable? What's something that God caused detestable? Listen to this. "Let no one be found among you, who are my people, who sacrifices their son or daughter in the fire." I think we've got that covered. That's no problem. "Who practices divination or sorcery or interprets omens." Oh, I just read tarot cards. interprets omens, engages in witchcraft, casts spells, or is a medium or a spiritist from the dead. Let me tell you, your Uncle Harry that comes back, oh, it was so amazing. I heard this voice from, listen, you're talking to a demon. Okay, it says, or a spiritist who consults the dead. Listen to what God says. Verse 12, anyone who does these things is what? Detestable to the Lord. And because of these detestable practices, the Lord your God will drive out the nations before you. You must be blameless before the Lord your God. Verse 14, listen to this. If that weren't enough, not, I don't want you to do it. But then listen to what he says. The nations you will dispossess, listen to those who practice sorcery or divination. But as for you, the Lord your God has not permitted you to do so. He's like, I don't even want you to listen to them. That's how bad this stuff is. Somebody, wake. You know, hear me. Okay, now, all right. I've got about, literally about 20 scriptures. Wait, no, no, no. I'm just kidding. Let me just give you a few. Okay, I've got to get to some more verses, too. No, I want you to ask whatever you want. I want you to get this because we're in a culture where this is just accepted now.
Well, it talks about you saying, you know, divination, but mine mm-hmm. said fortune
telling. Okay.
And I was mm-hmm. even thinking, you know, we think everything's innocent, you know, because honestly, most of the stuff, like, come on, guys, but we know the enemy uses it too. But I even think about when people look up, like, their horoscopes or mm-hmm. all, like, the psychics and stuff, like, the horoscope's supposed to be telling your future.
Yes.
You know, if you think about it, some people actually hold on to that. That takes away, you know, innocence, whatever. So even with that stuff, I'm like, you know, when it says you want to know your fortune for today or something.
Oh my gosh,
like,
yeah.
Oh, that's ridiculous, you know?
Yeah.
So not supposed to do that.
No. I mean, again, we're not. Now,
I'm talking about like fortune cookies that say you will have a nice day.
Right. You know what? Honestly. If it, you know, if they have a little rhyme in there, you know, or something. If it's a, but no, I don't participate in any of that stuff. Hey, no, he says stay away from that stuff. Take it seriously. Okay, I see more hands raised. That's okay. Mike, since you got the mic there, they're all going to get mad at me, although they're not here. They're going to be mad that I didn't put it on the mic. Okay, go ahead.
What's even worse is that it even engraved in the culture for kids, you know, like whenever people watch those movies, like some of the Disney movies like Aladdin and stuff like yeah. that genie is actually a demonic entity from the pit of hell.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? Can I tell you something? In the Muslim religion, do you know Muhammad, would when he received the Quran, he went in a cave, it says. And what happened was this being appeared to him and he would go in there for sessions, and this being would choke him till he got unconscious, until he would say Muhammad Ikra, which means Muhammad write, and he would write these things, and eventually he would choke him and then he would pass out. Now that was a jinn in Aramaic. A jinn is a genie. That sounds more like a demon, doesn't it? I'm just saying. Okay. So all right. Here's another one. Let me just give you a few. Please be patient with me because I want it embedded, burned into your brains. Okay. Since we're in Deuteronomy 32, since we're here already. Let me make sure, see if this is right. No, actually, I'm not going to do that. Okay, I am going to do that. Deuteronomy 32. Okay, now some of these idols and stuff like that they were worshiping, and oh, what's the big deal, right? What's the big deal? Well, some of them were just that, just idols, wood, hay, stubble, but some of them had demons behind it. Okay, listen, Deuteronomy 32, this is in 16 to 17, it says, they made their God jealous with their foreign gods. They angered him with their detestable idols, and they sacrificed to demons, which are not God. You've deserted the rock who fathered you. You forgot the God who gave you birth. Okay, now listen to a few of these other ones in Isaiah here. Okay, we're going to go to Isaiah, which is in the middle of your Bible. Okay, Isaiah chapter 8. It's a little bit different. I've got about no kidding, about 20 slides for today. Apparently, we're not going to get to them. Such cool stuff, but we're just going to trust the Lord on this stuff. Okay, so go to Isaiah, all right, in your Bible, kind of a little bit after Psalms, before Jeremiah. Go to Isaiah. Let's start off in chapter 8. Okay. Oh, Lord, please help me to find it. okay, verse 18. Okay, here we go. Starting in verse 18, this is about speaking to the dead, okay? Here I am, and the children of the Lord has given me. We are signs and symbols in Israel from the Lord Almighty who dwells on Mount Zion. Verse 19. When men tell you to consult mediums and spiritists who whisper and mutter, should not people inquire of their God? Why consult the dead on behalf of the living? To the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to God's word, they have no light of dawn. In Isaiah, go really quickly to Isaiah 47. When he's talking about the downfall of Babylon, listen to this. Isaiah 47. Okay. This is Isaiah 47, verse 8. Okay. He says this. He says, now this is, again, this is all, if you, your title of this chapter should be The Fall of Babylon, okay. So this is saying I'm God, casting spells, sorceries, astrologers, all that kind of stuff. Now, I'm not talking about astronomers. We're talking about astrology, right? You know the difference. Okay. It says in verse 8, he's rebuking them. Now listen, you wanton creature, lounging in your security and saying to yourself, I am, in other words, I'm a God, and there's none besides me. I will never be a widow or suffer the loss of children. They thought they were undefeatable. Both of these will overtake you in a moment, on a single day. Loss of children and widowhood, they will come upon you in full measure. Listen to this. In spite of your many sorceries and all your potent spells, you have trusted in your wickedness and have said, no one sees me. Your wisdom and knowledge mislead you. When you say to yourself, I am and there's none besides me, disaster will come upon you. You will not know how to conjure it away. A calamity will fall upon you, and you cannot ward it off with ransom. It goes on in verse 12. Keep on then with your magic spells, with your many sorceries, which you have labored at since childhood. Perhaps you'll succeed. Perhaps you'll cause terror. All the counsel you have received has only wore you out. Let your astrologers come forward. Let those stargazers make predictions month by month. Let them save you from what's coming upon you. Surely they are like stubble. The fire will burn them up. They cannot even save themselves. Soinkaramas. Yes.
Thank you.
Without realizing it.
Uh-huh, it's okay.
But, I mean, there are some things that are really easy to see, like sorcery, like, for example, and we'd know, right, straight off, like this is bad, we should have nothing to do with it. But how do we protect ourselves, like I said, from stumbling upon something that we shouldn't be doing without knowing?
Great. That's a great question. Okay, first off, fantastic question. First off, I think we first have to know. So part of it is knowing what the word says. Okay, if you don't know it, you could be involved in it and not even know. So you're being shown things right now today. And we're going to show you a few more just before. I cannot believe this at the time. We're going to show you some more stuff. That's number one. Is to know what the word says for yourself. The second thing is to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You know, to ask him to make you sensitive. To what's out there. You know, when you say, oh, some of this stuff is easy to recognize. You know what? unless you know the word and you're sensitive to the Holy, it is not easy to recognize. I've had Christians, I had a amazing person last week come up to me afterwards, you know, and you know, I made them cry. You know, they felt, they weren't sure if they should, and I said, this is what the word said. And they just, the tears came, but they were very thankful for what, they're like, I knew it. I knew that's what God was speaking to me anyway. I just didn't want to hear it, to be honest with you. I didn't, you know, and so it was amazing. I'm like, thank you, Lord. Now, me making a person cry does not make me feel good. It makes me feel bad. But I would rather you know, right? So you're not trapped by this stuff. Ouija boards. Oh, it's just a little game of witchcraft. No, there's little hooks and traps. In the Loner Library, there's a book that I've read years ago. She was ahead of all the witches here, the covens, here in Florida. And it's called The Witch That Switched. Okay? And it's in our Loner Library. You can check that out, The Witch That Switched. You can buy it on Amazon. She was the head of all the covens for Florida, and she got saved. And you want to hear some spiritual warfare? I have another friend I talk to all the time. We help kind of disciple her in the Lord. She was a witch. Now she's a born-again believer for many years, loves Jesus, and is strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Satan worshipers, priests even, I've spoke to them, and they've given their hearts to the Lord. And Satan hates that. So we're to stay away from that. And I want to tell you, there's little hooks in it for your kids. There's little hooks in it for you. What are you allowing? You know, if you're unsure in any way, how about you pray and ask the Lord? How about you stop and say, Lord, now listen, sometimes in all honesty, I'm really enjoying this show. But I know, it's introducing elements that I know is not good. Oh, nuts! Do I turn it off? You know what I'm saying, right? Have you ever, you know what I'm saying? Like you're feeling a little bit of the conviction, you're going, oh, but it's my favorite show. But my God's my favorite God. He gives me life. He gives me breath. He gives me purpose. He gives me forgiveness. He gives me power. And I don't want to dampen or deplete that power for anything or anyone. Click. Lord, please, can you allow me just 2 more minutes? 2 more minutes. Do you see what I did right there? I said 2 more minutes, but I put up a 3 finger. Just, okay. What about, okay, this is all Old Testament stuff, Pastor Darren. Listen. We're in the New Testament, okay? We can do whatever we want right now, right? If we're saved, well, you know what? Everything's possible, but not everything's beneficial, Scripture says. Okay, listen, can I just show you a couple things really quickly? Okay, let's go to the New Testament, okay? Okay, I did so many slides, though. I'm sorry. They're really nice, I know. I know, but I already did them. Okay. All right. Just listen to me whine. Just listen to me whine. What a baby. Okay. So go to, who said yeah? Ooh. Oh, my son. He's grounded. Anywho. All right, go to Acts. How about just go to the Acts? Go to Acts chapter 8. Yes. I know, but it's just so much to cover. Okay, so Acts chapter 8. 8, yes. Acts chapter 8. Mm-hmm. Okay, I don't know if I'm going to go through each one of these, but let me look real quickly. Acts chapter 8 verses, let's just say, 9 to 25, okay? I don't know if you guys have a header on here. But I'll just tell you the story really quick. There's a guy by the name of Simon the Sorcerer. Do you see that in there? And it says in the very first verse, now at that time was a man named Simon who practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all of the people. He boasted that he was something great. And both people high and low gave their attention and exclaimed, this man has the divine power. known as the great power. And they followed him, and he amazed them for a long time with his magic. But when the people believed in Jesus Christ, he did too, and he let all that stuff go. Go really quickly to Acts chapter 13. Okay, couple down. Acts chapter 13, verse 6. Acts chapter 13, verse 6. Give me a second. He says relatively confidently. Acts chapter 13, Lord. Okay, Paul. Okay, he went, he traveled through the whole island until he came to Paphos. And there, this is in verse 6 of 13. There he met a Jewish sorcerer and false prophet named Bar-Jesus, or it'll say another, Elymas, because that's what his name means. And it says in verse 7, he was attendant of the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, that was the governor. And the proconsul was an intelligent man. And he sent for Barnabas and Saul because he wanted to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, that's what his name means, opposed them. And so he tried to turn the proconsul from the faith. And I love this. What is this, in verse 9? It says, then Saul, who was also called Paul, was filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit just came upon him. Oof, and listen to what he said. He didn't mince any words here. He said, you are a child of the devil and an enemy of everything that is right. You're full of all kinds of deceit and trickery, and you'll never stop perverting the right ways of the Lord. And this, from this time on, the hand of the Lord is against you, and he was blinded. Zoinkarama. So the Lord says that he's a child of the devil. Interesting, isn't it? Acts, couple more, chapter 16, okay? Acts chapter 16, verse 16. Acts chapter 16. Oh, okay, listen to this. Hey, fortune telling, that's not bad, right? Okay, again, there's a lot of people out to take your money. We're not talking about that. Okay? Yes, but they do, to a point. Listen to this, Acts 16, it says, once when we were going, this is in verse 16 of chapter 16, once we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit. Okay, by the way, 1 John says to test the spirits to see whether they're from God. So somebody that's speaking to you, is it the Holy Spirit? Is it your fleshly spirit? Or is it a demonic spirit? You have to know the word and be a man or woman of prayer to know the difference. Does that make sense? If not, you're a ripe target. Okay, anyway. So she had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by what? Fortune telling. Anyway, the girl followed Paul and the rest of us shouting, these men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved. She kept doing that for many days. So finally, I love this, Paul rebukes her and says, it goes, she kept saying this for many days, and finally Paul was so troubled that he turned around and said to the spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her. And at that moment, the spirit left her. And when the owners of the slave girl realized their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them, and they beat them, and you get the idea. A couple last ones. I want you to never forget. Acts 19. Acts 19. And this always happens when I do, like I haven't done this in many years, but whenever we do this, it's the least amount of people. I hate that. Acts 19, okay? Paul's in Ephesus, okay? And I won't tell you the whole story, but the bottom line is there was a lot of witchcraft and a lot of sorcery. And when the people got saved, let me just read in verses, give me just 1 second. Oh, yeah. There's a demonic spirit there, a little demon. And so I'll just go down to verse 17, okay? This man jumped on all these Jews, this demonic man, and beat the snot out of a whole bunch of them. So there is demonic possession, but we don't have time to go over that. Verse 17 says, when this became known to the Jews and Greeks living in Ephesus, they were all seized with fear because the demon said, hey, there's eight of them there. He goes, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but hey, you're not, you guys, I don't know, because they weren't Christians. And this demon beat like all six or eight of the boys or whatever it was. So he says, when they became known to the Jews and Greeks living in Ephesus, they were all seized with fear, and the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor. Listen to this. Many of those who believed now came and openly confessed their evil deeds. Verse 19, a number who had practiced sorcery, what did they do? They brought their scrolls together and burned them publicly. That's not who I am anymore. It goes on to say, when they calculated the value of the scroll, it came to 50,000 drachmas. Anyway, and let me just leave you with this last one, Revelation 22. It's the last chapter of the Bible, okay? Holy shmoles, I didn't get to 90% of what I wanted to do, but I think this is what the Lord had for today. Revelation 22, okay? This is the last chapter in the entire Bible. So if I was going to impart something, this would be it, okay? And starting in verse 12, it's the last verses, and it's a red letter. If those are, it's Jesus is speaking here, okay? All right, this is what it says. Listen to this now. This is Jesus saying, behold, I'm coming soon. My reward is with me. I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning of the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and go through the gates of the city. Talking about washing white by the blood of Jesus. He washes us white as snow. But anyway, look at verse 15. Now he's going to tell you in these last verses, outside are the dogs. So those who do not go to heaven, he calls them the dogs. Listen what the very first thing it says. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts. But he's a Marvel superhero. So it's okay then. But the kids are reading. But it's okay then. But it's just a board game. But it's okay then. But it's in the paper. The horoscope's in there. It's okay then. But it's just a fortune telling for fun. It's okay then. Is it? I would say H-E double hockey sticks, no. Sue, Schrock in the back. Would you, yeah, somebody here, Elijah. And then we'll, wow, so much. Well, trust the Lord and go ahead, Sue. Yeah, you're on.
Long time before I became a Christian, someone said, I'm going to read your tarot cards. So I came over and they lit the candles and they were reading the tarot cards.
Yeah.
And my cat got up on the table and we don't have a clue how, but the cat caught fire. But the cat wasn't hurt. There was no hair singed or anything, and it scared me so bad. As it just, you know, just little things like that.
The Lord has a way of speaking to us. There was a, would you run this up to Jesse here? Jesse has a question too. You know, I even remember as we're bringing the mic up there, there was a church, I won't tell you, in Sarasota. They had a big, and they were doing palm readings. This is a church. They were doing palm readings, tarot cards at the church, but to get people to come in. What is everybody thinking? Nobody knows what the word says. Yes, Jesse, go ahead.
What about Chronicles of Narnia?
Okay, great question. Thank you. In the Chronicles of Narnia, for example, the main character, the evil queen, for example, she's the evil character, and she's a witch. And so she represents, in that picture, Aslan represents, is a picture of the Lord, and she represents Satan. So The fact that she's a witch, it's okay. I mean, you see there's a lot of witchcraft in here, but they're all on the other side. Do you know what I'm trying to say? There's no such thing as a good witch. Right. My friend who got saved would be called a white witch. She was a witch. Still demonic powers. Well, they're not as evil. Well, is there a witch? You're still tapping into the demonic powers. So the Lord wants us to clearly differentiate demonic realm, heavenly realm. So don't let anyone steer you anymore. And if you want more scripture verses, believe it or not, I got lots more. So that's enough for today. I did. Narnia. Yes. Yes, 100%. Yes, because yeah, the evil character is a witch. So I mean, hey, if there's something, hey, if the evil witch character is getting the snot beat out of it by the good godly character, oh yeah. But don't be letting the enemy tell you, hey, the good guys are just what he's gonna do. He's gonna call what's evil good and good evil. Don't let him do that. All right, let's. So I got through two verses. Oh Lord, let's pray and let's give thanks to the Lord. How about that, Lord? I do want to thank you, Lord, for who you are, Lord, and I want to thank you for the message, Lord. And Lord, I know there's a slew of people that aren't here this day, Lord. I pray that somehow you direct them to this message, Lord. But you still have people here. For however reason you brought them here this day to hear this message, Lord, I pray that you would instill that you would write that on the tablets of their heart, Lord God, that they would remember it forever, that they would have nothing to do with that, witchcraft, sorcery, divination, fortune-telling, that would all just be not something I'm going to subscribe to, but they would follow you, the one and true living God. And not be deceived by demonic spirits or entrapped by them. Lord, I pray that you would impart in each one of us a purpose-driven life, Lord. That we would live for you and you alone, Lord. So help us to cut off right now. If there's anything that we used to be involved with, Lord, that was like that, help us to even just renounce it in prayer right now to you, Lord. I want nothing to do with that in Jesus' name. If we're watching something or reading something or got something in the house, a book, a DVD, throw it away in Jesus' name. I don't even want that in my house. For as me and my house, I serve the Lord. And Lord, I pray that would be with us too, Lord. And I pray in all these things, Lord God, that we wouldn't be self-righteous, but we'd reach out, try to help others, pull them out, make you known. Make what your word says known to them, Lord. So that they can choose to be as far away from what dishonors you and what's detestable to you. Lord, I pray that you would bless each person here with a heart that knows you and loves you uncompromisingly, Lord God. That you would supernaturally draw each person to your heart and to your word and to your Holy Spirit. I pray a blessing on all the kids that are up there and the families that are driving up, Lord God, or have already driven up, Lord God, to the CYA and the ones that aren't here today, Lord God. Bless them abundantly, Lord God. And bring them back next week, Lord God, to hear what you have to say and this next amazing chapter in this amazing prophetic book of Daniel. We know you and we love you and we thank you. In Jesus Christ's name, our all-powerful Father. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you guys. Have a great week. Don't forget this Thursday, parenting course. If you're taking it, tell us.